Welcome to Career Conversations. My name is Siobhan Murphy. I'm a career consultant here in DCU Careers Service. Today, as part of our spotlight on employers attending DCU's virtual careers fair on the 15th of October, I am joined by Sive Dowling. Now, Sive Dowling is a marketing executive with DBAS. So first of all, thank you so much for joining the programme.
Thanks, Siobhan, for having us this morning. We're delighted to be taking part and looking forward to the fair on the 15th.
Brilliant. So first of all, listen, could you maybe tell us a little bit about DBAS?
Sure, yeah. DBAS are a three-partner chartered accountancy firm. We were established in 1988 by Dermot Brennan, and that's where the name comes from. It's Dermot Brennan and Associates. We are a leading audit and accountancy firm, and we are size-wise, we're approximately 30 people, 28 to 30 people staff at the moment.
So can you just tell me a little bit more about DBAS, what's important to them, how do you operate?
Sure, yeah. So from a service perspective, we offer audit, tax, accountancy, business advisory services. It would be fairly broad in terms of our client base. We would be working in sectors such as transport, agribusiness, construction and property, things like retail, wholesale. And we'd also deal an awful lot with family businesses. So that would be quite important to us. We'd have great relationships with some family businesses for quite some years. And I suppose that personal aspect is very, very important to us. We're a mid-sized firm, so that relationship we develop with the clients is just so, so essential for us and the type of service that we provide. And it's very much something we would, I suppose, discuss with our new clients, our new candidates starting with us, just to give them a feel for how we operate and what is important to our clients.
So one of the things, I suppose, for anyone considering joining a firm such as yourself is, you know, is that understanding of that balance between relationships, you know, the type of clients that you have. You mentioned joining, you know, and in relationship with the family business. Now, obviously in Ireland, you know, a lot of our students would actually come from family businesses. So they could even bring that dimension to the relationship themselves. They've been reared maybe in a household, maybe in on a farm, yeah, or in a local business, or even a larger firm. So what would you be looking for candidates to bring to the table there?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point, actually, Siobhan. We would have trainees who would have very much come in to interview, and they were so excited to talk about their own family business, which was absolutely amazing for us, because that's really so important to us that we have that relationship with those clients. And for a trainee to come in and to get that already is just exceptional. Now, I'm not saying obviously they can't learn that, but it's a super thing to come in and discuss at your interview and to be able to talk about why what's important to your family business, or perhaps something that you know in your family, maybe an uncle or a cousin or somebody, sure, who has their own business. And it would be a great, I suppose, a great addition to their skill set to understand that. It would be important for them if they have it.
So obviously you're a professional services type firm. So who are you hiring and for what roles are you hiring for?
Okay, so effectively we're hiring for trainee chartered accountants. We would be looking for those wishing to start September 2021. So they would be the next group of students we would have joining us would be 2021. So generally speaking, pathway for students coming into us, they may decide to take either the ACA or the ACCA exams. If you were looking at the ACA, which most of our trainees would, you would be going down the Chartered Accountants Ireland route. So for those who are looking at that, I would highly recommend that they have a look at the website there. There's some excellent resources there in terms of your exemptions, in terms of the disciplines you might be working in at the moment in terms of college. And it really does give a great overview if you're not entirely sure if it's an area you're interested in.
That's brilliant. And it is useful then. And it's very interesting for candidates, you know, to kind of, you know, remind them that, you know, within your firm, you actually have a choice of which pathway you want to go. What about the tax, yeah, side of things there, Sive?
So in terms of the areas that you would join us in, you would, I suppose, when you come in, you might have an area that you might be interested in, be it tax or audit. We would very much have a team for every area. So as I said before, we're mid-sized. We have some expert staff who are working in these areas for quite some time. So each candidate joining us would get time in each area with the experts in that area, and they would very much get an overview of those areas and make sure they get to experience all aspects of those when they're with us.
When we were having a little bit of a chat there before we started recording, one of the things that you pointed out there to me, Scythe, and I'd love to talk a little bit more, maybe you might be able to explain more to the listeners. You mentioned your firm's, I suppose, approach to technology. Could you maybe expand a little bit more about that and tell us what that means on a day-to-day basis?
Sure. So that would be something a lot of our candidates, when they join us, would say, that they're quite surprised at the amount of technology we use. Some of our graduates would say, wow, we didn't realise technology was such an important part of accountancy and chartered accountancy. It very much is for us. We would be very much a forward-thinking practice, and we have found over the years engaging with new technologies has made a huge difference to our clients, and it's made a huge difference to our staff in terms of providing the best possible service. So as soon as you would join us as a new trainee, that would be a huge part of your training. You would get involved learning the new systems, seeing how they help a client. You'd engage directly with a client to see, could you help them with those systems as you learn how to use them yourself? And I suppose as you develop your knowledge, you'll be able to use that a little bit more often and to more effect. So very important part of the training for new trainees coming into us.
And with that technology, you know, how useful did you find that when, you know, the country went into more of a lockdown status?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose most people would be aware that a lot of our work is very much based on paperwork, and accountancy always has been. Not that we're going away from that, but everything is tending to go into an online version of what we would have done before. We have systems that we very much developed during lockdown that allowed us to provide our clients with their paperwork in the same efficient manner that we've always done, without them needing to come to our offices, without them needing to put themselves in jeopardy, or indeed for ourselves to be put in jeopardy. So very much so that really came into play during lockdown, and we were so delighted we had looked at it long before lockdown, because being familiar with it made a huge difference to our staff and to our clients as well.
So just bringing us forward to any of our listeners that are contemplating, you know, applying to DBAS, what is the whole application and selection process?
So initially for a client, we would definitely encourage that you would go straight on to our website and to check out what it is we have to offer, to get an idea of what you'd be looking at in terms of what you're applying for. We do have some information there. I would also encourage that they would have a look at our overview of who our company are and what we do. And there's some great videos on our homepage for our clients. So several of our clients recorded some videos with us, and it gives you a real overview of the type of work we do and the type of people we work with. I think that's quite important, because I think before applying, it's good to get an idea of, is that the kind of work you'd enjoy? Would you like to work with us? Do you, I suppose, buy into our value system, that kind of thing? So all that information is there. The contact details in terms of applying to us are there. And I would very much highlight the importance of a cover letter. So I think oftentimes, as we've gone more online, we've tended to maybe go away from the need to write something to people. And I can't stress that enough, how important it is to share with us a little bit about yourself and why you might be suitable. And you mentioned earlier about the family business. If indeed you were involved with a family business, that's quite interesting for a company like ours with the kind of service that we provide. So provide that kind of information. Give us a little feel for who you are and why you'd like to work with us would be quite important.
So what I'm getting from that is you're trying to get a little bit about the personality across, because, you know, it is a mid-sized firm. So, you know, collaborating with everyone on the team and connecting to what DBAS is all about would be kind of pivotal there. And that's why the cover letter might be very useful for you to evaluate that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're very much a family, I suppose. We work quite closely together. And even in the current situation where we're having to use, obviously, Zoom and that a lot, we're still very much strong on collaboration. It's exceptionally important for the kind of work we do that we work together as teams, and especially when somebody comes to work with us and they're training, that they have that support, that they have that ongoing support from their managers and the partners on a daily basis. It really is essential. So getting a sense of who you are and maybe why you would fit with our organization is quite important to us when we're deciding who we'd like to talk to further. And, you know, don't be shy about sharing a little bit about what you like, if you're involved in sport, if you're involved in anything extracurricular. We love hearing about that. It's actually quite interesting, and it's lovely to find somebody maybe who even has something in common with somebody who's already there. It's very much a plus for people. So, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself and don't be shy, as I say.
So you have a CV and a cover letter, that's stage one. So what happens next? Now, we all understand, you know, selection processes and stuff are a little bit more agile. But, you know, insofar as you can disclose right now, like what's your process now?
Okay, well, the immediate plan as things stand is, naturally speaking, we can't do as many face-to-face interviews because it just, I suppose it's not the recommendation. What we're looking at doing at the moment would be Zoom and telephone interview. So once we have reviewed your application and we maybe deem that you might be suitable to go to the next level, we'd just like to talk to you directly because it's so important to really get a sense of the person and allow them as well to ask a bit more about us. And we really do encourage that. So even prior to that interview stage, if there's something you want to know about us and you want to find out just a little bit more about whether or not we're the right fit for you, really do let us know. We'd love to hear from you and we'd be happy to give you more information because we do think that's really important that when you're applying, you get a sense that we're right for you as well. You know, because it does tend to work out better when we both understand that we're the right fit for each other. And I think, you know, I would definitely emphasize that as well for candidates.
Brilliant. So you're looking at some, like, is it one interview, two interviews, or?
It's usually approximately two. Now, obviously, the process is changing as our needs are changing, but you'd probably be most likely looking at a maximum of two interviews.
Brilliant. So thinking about, say, and you've actually given us some very useful insights there into, you know, the actual, you know, selection process there. But what would you say your top tips would be for that, you know, process? Like, what are the top things that you'd be looking out for on applications?
So the top things would be give us a sense that you know who we are. So if when you first hear about us, you don't know who we are, that's fine. We're okay with that. But take a bit of time and go and research us. If you're going to apply to us, you need to know who you're applying to. You should have a sense of the firm. You should have a sense of what's important to us. Check out, as I say, our resources section on our website. We post important events and documents and that onto our website. So the information is actually there if you want to find out about us and you know, do a little bit of searching around, see what you can find about us. It gives you something to talk about at your interview and it gives us a sense that you're interested in us, that we're not just a name on your list that you've just thrown in a CV to. So that would be very, very important. I mentioned already the cover letter. You really do need to tell us a little bit about yourself and why you'd be suitable. We need to be able to, I suppose, look at your application and define that you might be, you know, top of the list. You might be somebody that we want to talk to. So that's up to you to do that. You need to differentiate yourself from the group. So I think they're probably the two main things. I suppose if you've done your research and you know what you're looking for and you know we're the right fit, then, you know, you're really in a good space then in terms of applying.
And I just want to come back in a little bit more about DBAS itself. You know, we did mention audit and we did mention tax, but I suppose what I missed out in speaking to you about was the whole business advisory section. And, you know, how do the trainees kind of, you know, contribute or get involved in that side of things?
Yeah, very much so. Business advisory would be very important. So some of our clients have been with us quite a long time. So they might have joined us in terms of using a service such as maybe audit or tax. They may have come to us for a specific reason. More often than not, they've stayed with us and now they would benefit from the broad range of services we offer. And one of those main services would be business advisory. So we might be working with a company for some time. We might be assisting them through changes, be they buying new businesses, but they're making changes to their existing business, the structure. Right from day one, a trainee joining us will be involved with a team. So they will be working on client accounts. They will get a complete overview of what we're working on with that client. And that would include business advisory. So they would be involved in that process. They would be shown maybe why a certain advice is being given, what stage a business is at, that kind of thing. And they would be asked for their opinion as well, to involve them in the process. And that's part of the learning process. So very much, I think they would get a very good overview, even in the early days, in terms of what we're offering from a business advisory perspective.
And as regards being mentored or buddied or connected with somebody in the firm to kind of be a guide, you know, do you have a formal or an informal process there?
Sure. Well, I suppose it's somewhat formal and somewhat informal. Every trainee who joins with us is essentially buddied up with a senior member of staff. So depending on what area they're starting in, be it audit or tax, they would be dealing directly with a senior member of staff and they would be their mentor, essentially. They would also have a partner mentor. So who would be available to them, regardless of what it is they need to talk about, just to ensure that they are covering off all their training requirements, that they're getting through their exams, that they're not experiencing any difficulties that they shouldn't be. So there is always somebody there for them to talk to. Just, I suppose, based on the fact that we are a certain size, there is always somebody there. Anyhow, you have that very close link with your team. And it's something that's very important to us. So very much you're part of the family. As soon as you join, you're encouraged to get involved as much as possible and to ask questions as well, you know, because it is a learning process and we understand that. And, you know, it's quite important to ask those questions. So, yeah.
And as regards, say, onboarding at the moment, now, obviously, things could be changed by next September and hopefully it will be a bit more fluid rather than, anything else. But are people working remotely at the moment, or is it a combination, or...
Yeah, so like you said, it's a combination. We have it set up in such a way that we have approximately half the staff in the office at any one time and the other half working from home. So we are ensuring that there is always somebody on site, but for those who are training, they would always have access to their mentor. So some days they may work from home, other days they might be in the office. We have a very good setup with Microsoft Teams. So a lot of our collaboration at the moment is actually taking place through Teams, which has worked out great for us. It's not something we probably utilized a huge amount before March, but we rely heavily on it now. So it does allow somebody to have a group chat, a standard team chat, without everybody all having to be in the one space. It can be used for training. We found that very effective for training. And that's obviously exceptionally important for people who are in the early stages of their training, that they're not losing out on that opportunity to learn new skills. Even despite our difficult situation in terms of the pandemic, we are still managing to cover off all those areas. And they did obviously have exams in recent months. So we want to make sure everything's kept on top of and nobody's losing out as a result. So,
and have you any top tips based on your experience of maybe trainees, you know, working from home, or you kind of, you know, for anyone, any of the students, regardless of what role they're going forward in life, about, you know, being onboarded remotely, and any top tips for, you know, that you can inside hack. You know, we'd be grateful for anything we can get there from you.
I suppose that the top tip would probably be to ask. So if you find yourself stuck and you're a little bit unsure, it's so much easier just to pick up that phone, be it a video call or just a standard call, and just ask, because you're probably not the only person who's feeling that way. And even if you just need that connection, that bit of collaboration, we would very much encourage that. And we wouldn't just leave it up to people to ring. Obviously, we would, all the managers, the partners, would be making calls on every few days, just checking in with people. We do a weekly scheduling meeting, which is for the entire company. And that's regardless of whether or not you're based in the office or you're at home at the moment. Everybody's involved in that. We just had it at 9:30 this morning, and it's a great way of checking in with everybody. So regardless of what area you work in the company, you get a little chance to talk about what it is you're doing. If you're having any concerns or any issues, you're able to raise them to the entire company. So if there's somebody you haven't been able to catch, you can catch them there. But outside of that meeting, we would also very much maintain that contact with each other. It's a little video call or a little call a few times a day or a few times a week, depending on what you need. And I think for somebody starting out, it's so important to know that it's okay to ask, to put your hand up and say, I need a little bit of help with this, or I just need a bit more information, and just to maintain that contact. Very much I would recommend that for them.
Brilliant. And just thinking about, this is kind of, I'm just thinking this out loud to myself, so you might have to bear with me. I'm just thinking about, you mentioned technology and you mentioned MS Teams, and you mentioned so many things. Without any, like, all our students are definitely gone so agile, you know, around their online learning. So they're bringing a lot to the table already, you know, in around that kind of remote experience and things like that. But in around the area of technology, and, you know, if people were thinking about things that they could do, you know, light touch now, not on top of already a heavy academic workload, what would be the top things that you might suggest to people to embrace maybe around technology during their final year?
Sure. I have to say, most trainees joining us were always blown away by how much they have already learned in terms of technology. And I think that's very much a compliment to the universities they're coming from. They come to us and they're exceptionally well prepared from a technological perspective. They are also very interested in learning new technology, which is great. What I would say to them is, if they have the opportunity to, I suppose, get comfortable with things like Zoom and Microsoft Teams, and I think most have already, you know, make sure that you see it as being the same thing as much as possible as meeting somebody face to face. I really do think going forward, we're just going to be using that so much more, and we all need to understand how that works. Maybe get a sense of things like, I suppose, Dropbox, things like that, that probably a lot of students are already using, but a sense of where you can maybe hold documentation and how you can access documentation and share it. Those kind of systems and types of software are actually really, really useful. So a lot of what we would use will be maybe versions of those. So getting comfortable with that really helps. And I suppose I can't stress Excel enough for people wanting to go into accountancy. You really need to know Excel well. You need to get comfortable with Excel. And I think most students would have a very good overview of it anyhow, but they're probably the main areas for them to look at.
I'm glad you mentioned Excel, because obviously we do talk about it a lot. And I suppose it's to encourage students that maybe are not coming from, you know, say a business or accounting or an economics, politics, you know, and law students that we would have in DCU that maybe would already have a strong grounding in Excel. Like, any discipline can go forward into accountancy, you know. Yes. It doesn't preclude, you know, you can be studying an arts degree and decide, you know, I've actually decided, you know, enjoyed my course or whatever, but like, you can mm-hmm. go anywhere from a humanities degree, just getting online and studying a bit of Excel, YouTube videos and stuff like that. There is an awful lot you can learn, so and learn yeah. free as well, you know. So it's for everyone out there, to be quite honest with you, and we've had this conversation with our 2020 final years before they finished up, and we've had many a conversation with students over the years, that it really doesn't make a difference now what area you're going into. You know, even the work we would do in the career service, like being able to manage data, being able to, you know, put together spreadsheets, being able to filter, being able to do pivot tables, being able to do visualizations, yes. you know, dashboards out of things like that. Now, they're all mm-hmm. things we're all having to learn, you know. So it doesn't make a difference what discipline area you're in, whether you're actually going forward into accountancy or not. Like those, the basic patch, the Word, the Excel, the PowerPoint, people get very used to the PowerPoint and the Word, but don't forget about Excel. There's loads of things you can do with Excel. And
there is, yeah.
And it's not that difficult. There is difficult things within it, in the sense that the first time you do it, you know what you're doing, but you just, you know, you learn it yeah. and you repeat you it do. And you repeat yeah. it and you get it. And then if you don't get it, you look up a YouTube video. So, you know, it's one of those things that, it's just useful no matter what walk of life you're in.
It is, and obviously we wouldn't want to scare anybody off in terms of saying, you know, we're not expecting you to come in the door with, you know, amazing Excel skills. Just to have an overview. And I think you mentioned something very important there, actually, which I probably should have said earlier. We have plenty of trainees who did not come directly from an accountancy background. So that is by no means something that somebody needs to have to consider joining us. I think it's something that comes up at career stands all the time. People ask us, you know, oh, I'm not in a discipline that I haven't covered accountancy subjects, can I still apply? And you know, absolutely. One of our trainees came from a law and media background in DCU. He's a year and a half into his training now, and he's just flying it, you know, and he's delighted. And now, naturally, he came from a media background, so he's very tech savvy, and that has really stood to him in terms of joining our firm. But I think it's important to note that, you know, you can join accountancy without having considered it in the early stages of your studies, and maybe you mightn't have chosen something that had an accountancy focus. That's okay, you know, and I think a lot of people mightn't be that aware of that. So just important to say that, and not to be frightened off by the Excel. You can build on your skills, and that's yeah, what most people
absolutely.
Do.
And that's what I'm saying, that, you know, pace yourself, start off with the YouTube videos and you'll be absolutely fine. But it is something you can kind of start incrementally be looking at and not get overwhelmed by it, really, I suppose.
Absolutely. Really, and every little helps, you know. And the thing is, when you come in as a trainee, you're not expected to know everything. You come in to be trained. That is the purpose of it. You come in to join us, and we are going to help you build on your skills. And really, all we're looking for is a sense of interest in what you want to do in order to build those skills with us.
Yeah. And whatever degree you've done, or not done, as the case would be, you're bringing in your own skills and strength. And you use the example there of a DCU grad with law and media. Like, obviously, that's a great skill set to come in with. Other people might even have a degree in English. Well, they'd be fantastic communicators there, you know, able to write long form documents and things like that. Let's face it, when you're writing to clients, like somebody that really is very good way with words and can influence and persuade and grammatically correct, you know, that's a skill that, you know, people battle a whole lifetime to perfect, you know what I mean? So
yes, absolutely. Yeah, so, you know, you're quite right. Yeah. We all bring something different to the table, I suppose, is the important thing to say. And you know, not to be afraid of that, not to feel that you're outside of possibilities because it's maybe an area you've gone into in the past. You know, you know, if it sounds interesting to your chartered accountancy, then perhaps it's the right path for you to take.
Yeah, and I think if we were all the same, wouldn't life be very boring anyway, you know, so...
wouldn't it just, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, and we're not robots, and we continually say that there is machines out there, there is, you know, software and all that kind of stuff, but that's what they do well. But, you know, when you're hiring a human, you want the human being to do what humans do best, you know, and that's...
Absolutely, that's it. And to be part of, as I say before, to be part of our family and our group, and to be, I suppose, to want to be part of that. And that's a very human thing, to want to be part of a group of people. So
brilliant. I think we're going to leave it there today, Sive. Listen, I really enjoyed the conversation with you. I think we unpacked a lot for students there. I think we've got a little bit underneath DBAS. We've kind of, you know, you've really kind of unpacked your culture and the values there a little bit more. So good notes there for students to pick up on and do further research. And so thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Siobhan. It was lovely to speak to you. Take care.